Thank you for listening to the Nate Jackson Podcasting Network.
What up, beautiful people? It's your boy, Mr. Nate Jackson, comedian extraordinaire, and we are live from the Super Funny Comedy Club, but this is not the Super Funny Comedy Club podcast. Well, kinda. This is the Nate Jackson radio show. This is another episode of goodness. If you're not hip to it, you can go check it out. It's on iTunes. It's on YouTube. I've had phenomenal interviews with incredible people. I interviewed Kalita Smith, the mother from the Bernie Mac show. That was 3 episodes ago. Then 2 episodes ago, I interviewed Jeremy Sarez. He played the son on the Bernie Mac show. He also was Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son in Jerry Maguire. And then most recently, I just posted a throwback clip on my Instagram at Mr. Nate Jackson of myself and Quentin Rampage Jackson, where I walked on the wild side and roasted him despite his MMA career and obvious temper flares that have been caught by the media. That was actually fake news. Dude was dope. He was phenomenal. He's actually very funny, and we had a great interview. Today, I'm pleased to announce my guest for today's episode is... Now, listen, do we go government?
No, we ain't going to go government.
All right, so we're going to go experience, a.k.a. XP. That is my guest for today. Now, there's going to be certain accolades I give to you that you're going to have to rein me in, because okay. I'm so excited about what you've done, are doing, and will do that a lot of my stuff is going to sound outrageous. So you can stop me where you want. He's responsible solely for 7 of 10 of Macklemore's platinum hits. So for all the listeners out there that say, where does Macklemore get all this soul? This is the soul.
He got some.
In the train. No, he definitely
got a little bit.
Ben is cold. But how true is that? 7 out of 10 platinum hits? A little too much sauce?
I think that's a little too much. I don't think it's 7. I think it's more like 5 or 6.
All right, give me 3.
We're going to go 5.
No, I want you to say 3.
Oh, 3. Glorious.
Wow.
It's glorious.
Okay.
Good Old Days.
Okay.
Marmalade.
Okay.
Featuring Lil Yachty.
Yeah. Lil Boat.
Lil Boat. What else we got? Downtown.
Downtown.
I'm drawing a blank.
Thrift Shop.
No, I didn't do that one.
Dang.
Didn't do that one. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
There's hell.
The past 3 albums I've helped work.
Fantastic.
On. Yeah, but I don't get a plaque for everyone.
You don't get a plaque for all that shit?
No. I mean, I could ask them for one, but it's like...
Yeah, they would give you one quick. They're like, it's our boy.
It costs money. So.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, man. Thank you, man. So, I have an interesting story about Lil Yachty.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, annually, George Lopez throws a function at his house called Who Weed in My Pool, right? Not peed. Who Weed.
Who Weed?
Yeah. And people do whatever they want to do at this party. Who Weed in My Pool. And the Kings of Comedy, or the D.L. Hughley, it's called the Black and Brown Tour now, with George Lopez and other major acts. So their cameraman and friend for life and the person who's been taking all the pictures of all the celebrities and all the stuff around them is Lil Yachty's dad.
Okay.
So Lil Yachty, since he was literally a Lil Yachty,
has always been around everybody.
I mean, he calls D.L. Hughley and George Lopez his uncles, like, and they call him nephew. And so he's like, you know, wildly connected and with the
That's
culture.
Crazy.
Not just yeah, nobody would know that. When you see a Kool-Aid dyed individual braid, you think, oh, we have another lost child with talent. No, Lil Yachty's actually raised very well, has a great circle and a whole bunch of people around him. Anyway, speaking of that, let's shift into your childhood. Okay, because I think for you to write a hit song like the one that's dropping at midnight, Peacocking, and I knew when I heard it. You know when you hear it. And I heard it before it was blessed by Talkbox.
Yeah, you heard it in the real rough stage.
Wasn't even that rough. I remember, this is the type of song where I remember where I was when I heard it. How about that? I was standing outside of Emerald City Smoothie on 38th Street near K&G Men's Factory. And he was like, hey, man, here's a little something I'm dibbling and dabbling with. Tell me what you think. And it comes on and he's peacocking. I was like, ooh, this is slapping harder than a pissed off pimp.
Hey.
On some bitch, where's my money?
Little bit.
That shit goes.
Thank you,
man. And so it drops at midnight. And since then, you've added Mr. Talkbox to it. Yeah. There's a whole video. Who shot the video?
The homie Jake McGraw.
Jake McGraw. Quick Jake draw.
From JMD Creative. He shoots photos for Mac on tour. He does, you know, the videos. He does the whole thing.
He's raw.
He's raw.
Yeah, so look like you got a beautiful space and a fantastic outfit. And
I'm trying to make it look like I live there.
It looks like it.
But that's not my real. That's why I took my shoes and so I was like, I'm going to take my socks off.
That you looked comfortable.
I was for 40 minutes. They charged us
hilarious.
About an hour. I said, we got 45.
You see, most people take off their shoes, socks, and hat. And you were like, I'm going to keep my hat
keep
on.
Keep the hat on.
But so the music video and the song, all that drops at midnight. I think the video is actually available in the morning, but it's going to be everywhere that you can get songs and hear music. And the song is dope. It's peacocking. And it's about showing out, kind of on some, I don't like to relate songs to other artists, but it has a put your pinky finger in the air, Bruno Mars type of feel. So you can really get with it, groove, take a shower to it, clean your house to it, walk down the street to it, get in the car. Like you can really put this on repeat and replay. It's a masterpiece. But what I wanted to talk about was like, where are some of your earliest influences that have led to, that you think directly have influenced your success as an adult in music?
I mean, of course, it started in church, you know, growing up in a Baptist church.
Look at God.
Look at it. And you know, you get introduced to music at a very young age. And my mother was the lead singer at our church, and she was a soprano, but very, she could get up there, right? Okay. So she was well known around the area in, at that time, Detroit. And so I used to sit behind the drummer and he would give me a pair of drumsticks and let me just hit the floor. And eventually I just knew how to play the drums, never had no lessons.
From hitting the carpet.
From hitting the carpet. And when I was like 5 or 6. And then the drummer didn't show up one day and my mama was like, he can play. And I was like, huh? You know what I'm saying? But got up there and did it.
Like, how old were you when that opportunity happened?
I had to be like 6 or 7.
So you were just a little baby XP.
Little baby XP. Wasn't even XP yet.
And how'd it go?
It went good. They kept me as the drummer. Started paying me little checks every Sunday. And
so you made your first enemy.
Yeah.
Because the original drummer was like, how you replace me with a baby?
Yeah, I don't even know. We don't even know. I don't even remember what happened to him.
He's out of there.
But
I teach him how to drum on carpet and he replaced me? A 6-year-old baby? Like, what does that say to his drumming career?
Right. Well, I wonder what he's doing. But
crack?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. I kicked out of church because a 6-year-old replaced him. But that shows that you started off with all kind of rhythm, cadence, and timing.
Yeah.
And so now you've applied that to, you know, multiple different formats of your career right now, like, you know, whether it's performing yourself or songwriting or, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Very impressive. So, like, just to shift for the people who are listeners that are actually more musically inclined for a second. So, for all the first time listeners that don't really, you're not into like structure or music theory and all of that or feeling that, you just got to bear with us for a second, because I wanted him to get technical, because a lot of times we'll see, you know, 2 or 3 gold rings, a couple chains, and assume that it's just a stroke of luck, but it's not. It is opportunity, it is talent, it is preparation, and all that equaled what we see as success. So,
hallelujah.
What is your process, if you will, for going from blank screen, blank piece of paper to platinum hit?
Well, I don't have any solo platinum hits, but I'll tell you about my process when I'm writing.
Excuse me.
Yet.
Go ahead.
But I'll tell you about my process. I kind of have a couple. Sometimes, you know, I get some production, I get a beat, and then I'll sit down and I try to think as if the song already exists, and I'm just trying to remember it, if that make any sense.
Wow.
And so, you know, which eventually leads me to, like, humming notes. Mm-hmm. Then I just fill in the blanks with words unless I have like a concept I want to write about or something.
Okay. Which one would you say you do more often than not?
I'll probably just let go more often.
So melody first?
Yeah. Just humming something and be like, okay, and then get a vibe.
So I had an experience with that in the past. So one of my frat brothers is a songwriter with a platinum hit. He wrote Deuces. It's Kevin McCall. And
Chris Brown song?
Mm-hmm. So he wrote Deuces. Oh, he wrote that while we were in college still at Wazoo. And then when he moved back to L.A., where he was originally from, he started sharing his catalog with different artists and things. And so that's how he got a part of the Chris Brown stuff. And so I just went to go kick it with him one day, just to go, you know, just hang out with my guy. I'm like, look, a lot of things are taking off around you and stuff. And sometimes it's good, not necessarily to like for humility or being humble, but it's just good to stick with some of your old people rather than all the new faces that's around.
Right.
And so I was just going to kick it with my dog, you know. And he was back messing with his talk box, you know, and we were singing runs and all that kind of stuff. And he explained it to me. He was like, so I'll hit runs on a beat or whatever, like see whatever fits and what goes. And then I come back and I'll sub in the words. So the melody is definitely strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a testament to our ears as humans. Like, yes, we can connect to the words of a song, but that melody is what hooks you.
Right.
And melody
where the emotion
is.
Is.
Yeah. Right. And look how many people sing along with songs they don't know every word to now. And I mean, frankly, the most viral sensation in music right now is the kid in Asia who's only counting.
Oh, yeah.
40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. Yeah, but it's slaps though.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm out there like 46, 47. So melody is facts. I mean, and Snoop reposted and was like, just so y'all know, words don't even matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially like, I learned that when I started doing shows over in Europe.
Because there's a language barrier.
Yeah. And so when you get on stage and, you know, you're singing a song and then, you know, a couple people know your song and they're singing it with you and you could kind of tell, some understand what you're saying. But then you could tell to some, it just don't even matter. It's just like, it makes them feel good, and they gonna sing it with you. So.
How do you then go from a strong melody to the message?
Yeah, so again, that's like what I was saying about like the vibe. So once I get that melody, I'm like, okay, well, this makes me feel like this. If it's like some smooth, can we curse on it? Allowed to curse here?
I don't give a fuck what you do.
Okay, shit. No, so it's like if it's on some like some lovey-dovey shit and I just want to, you know, vibe out and I'm like, all right, this for the ladies, you know what I'm saying? Then it's like, okay, well, what do I want to say to the ladies? You know what I'm saying? Do I want to take you out? I want to, you know, what am I saying? Am I just on some, you know, it's 2 a.m. It ain't time to talk.
What is time for at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, well, you know, we trying to have some children or not? And so sometimes I make baby-making music.
Okay.
And I know that's what I want to do.
I don't have kids, but I do enjoy practicing.
Exactly. And so you never know. And so in case you do, I'm here to be your background.
Is that directed to the ladies?
That's directed to everybody.
Well, why don't you look right at them and tell them?
When you want to have a baby, I need you to come see about me. Not physically, but the music.
So you want to have kids with them or you just wanted to do
it? I want them to hear my voice as they're conceiving a child.
So while the doctor's like, push.
No. Like while they're conceiving the child.
So she's like, when the guy is like, I'm about to bust.
Right.
You want her to hear you go.
Right. Hit a note.
Hello.
Hi. No, I won't. I want it to be a certain note.
Well, let me tell you something. Ladies, don't come to me when you want to have a baby. I'm not the one. I don't even like to play with the concept of being a daddy right now. Father's Day is for the motherfucking birds. Yes, I should be planning a family, but you know what feels better than that? A nut. So call me when you want to experience some fun. When you want to go to the lake fair of sexual experiences, the sea fair of sexual experiences, when you want a peacock with your feathers out around the room, when you want to have an experience, that's when you reach out to me. I'm the one fucking you. So yeah, let's shift into talking about the ladies because you go from being you know, we're awkward when we're little. We're all trying to figure it out. We're little kids.
Very.
To now.
I'm still awkward a little bit.
A little bit. But I mean, you also are a worldwide, you know, you're all over the world experiencing things, touring internationally, and so you've come across women of every race and creed and nationality. How do you balance that attention with your innate nature?
It's hard. It's hard to do, but you gotta remember that you're here as a professional as well. Wherever you are, you're there to work as well. You gotta get up there, you gotta do that show. Now after the show is over. Mm-hmm.
After the party's after party.
And that's a different story. And it's one of my favorite parts. I'm not gonna lie. Listen.
Okay, you talk about it. Talk your shit.
If I never make it in music, I don't care. I'm still going to do music because right. I love making music.
Okay.
My favorite thing about it is being on stage and performing. I love that energy. I love performing for people. One of my other favorite things about it is the after party.
All that doggy stuff.
It's a beautiful thing, especially over in Europe because everybody is more free over there. It's not as serious.
It's not as risque. I mean, you could literally see naked women in Amsterdam in the red light district.
Yeah.
That's legal.
Red light district played out now. Now it's just like a bunch of old Persian men walking around looking in windows.
Who's in the windows?
I mean, there's some ladies in there, but they're, you know.
Is there a new light? Is there a new colored light district I need to know about?
Listen.
If the red light district is dead, where is it? Is there a black light district? Where is everybody? Well, that'd probably be nasty.
Yeah, you want to go to the black light.
What light district is everybody in getting their Amsterdam on? You turn that on, you'd be like, oh my God.
You're out of there.
She's glowing.
Man, there's some. Listen.
I'm listening.
I'm not saying that I indulged in these.
Okay.
But I've definitely gone to the places just to say I've been there.
And yeah, I know about cocaine. But yeah, I haven't done it.
Exactly. Huh? So I will tell you about, where is it? Zurich, Switzerland.
Okay. That's where they have the raves, the big raves.
Yeah. They got a street out there called Langstrasse.
Langstrasse?
Langstrasse, which I think just means long street.
Okay.
Long street. Okay. But on this street is every club, bar, brothel. Millions of people out on the street at all times. And that is an amazing place to be. I had a lot of fun there. Me and the homies had a lot of fun there.
Vegas ain't got shit on Langstrasse. No,
Vegas ain't. Well, yeah, Vegas ain't got shit. You are gambling. You are gambling out there.
Oh, you're rolling the dice.
Rolling the dice for sure.
What happens in Langstrasse stays in the form of bumps on bruises.
Yeah. It gets wild out there.
You think you're going to get married?
That's a great question that I'm being asked by multiple people in this time in my life. Maybe. I don't really see a reason. Are you going to get married?
Yes.
You are.
I want to be married and I want to have a big old family and all that. Mind you, August 14th was my 37th birthday. So whatever I do.
Happy belated.
Needs to hurry the fuck out.
Yeah. It's getting up there.
Yeah.
We get up there. I'm up there.
How young are you?
Well, you know. Artist.
I play from. Go ahead. Do it like that.
Artists are infinite. We live forever. We don't really have an age. We live through the audio wave.
Bet. So
therefore.
He and I grew up in the same church as children. So I have an idea of about how old he is. Both our biological clocks are doing the damn thing. Listen, we're going to talk about love, prosperity, and our definitions of success. Let me get back from the break.
Okay, you know what would be amazing? If you left a 5-star review on iTunes. Go ahead. Just do it.
Oh, my God.
That's gold stuff right there.
We're back from the break.
Oh.
That's how we do it. Oh, you thought it was a long wait for you? I hope you enjoyed the ad that played, if an ad played for you. It depends on what region you're in here on the Nate Jackson Radio Show. So, how do you define success?
I define success as just... you're comfortable. You're happy. Those around you are happy. They are also comfortable. And, you know, no stress. I don't think it has to be such a financial thing. You know what I'm saying?
So no stressor.
No stressor.
Not long stressor. No stressor.
No stressor.
So Let's say all the money's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well,
let's just say all the money's gone.
Okay.
You got it, but you got your studio.
Mm-hmm.
Is that success?
All the money's gone. I got my studio.
Yeah.
But I got my house.
Everything's gone.
Everything's gone.
You can make music, though.
I'm just in the studio.
You're like every other artist that didn't have a hit.
No.
Okay. So define it for me. If I had to have bullet points, what would we say?
Well, I would still have to go with being comfortable. I still got to say that.
Okay.
But being comfortable, again, is like you're not living in the studio. You know what I'm saying? Like you're happy where you're living. So I guess in essence, success would be happiness. As long as you're happy with your situation, I would think you are successful as you want to be.
Okay.
Are you writing this down?
Is there a number? Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Don't quote me on this.
All right. So
here's unknown under it.
Right, unknown? No, we're going to play a quick game. All right. And this game is this or that.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to get two options, and I need to know which one you like, or one or the other.
Okay.
Whopper or Big Mac?
Whopper.
Fries or onion rings?
Fries.
Can you tell I'm hungry?
I am too. I'm going to Popeyes after this.
Ooh. Okay. Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Popeyes. All day.
Snickers or Butterfinger?
Butterfinger.
Okay. Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Chocolate types of candy or fruity types of candy?
White chocolate or just...
All right. White chocolate or milk chocolate?
White chocolate.
Okay.
But now, if it's milk chocolate, fruity candy.
Gun or knife?
Gun.
Weed or Coke?
Weed.
Soda or water?
That's a fucked up question right there. I should say water, but I love soda.
Silver or gold?
Gold.
Okay.
Light work.
For the ladies, I'll give you three for the ladies. Because I know women listen or watch podcasts like, he sound so attractive. Or, he look good, girl. And I just want to make sure that all demographics can enjoy the Nick Jackson radio show. Missionary or doggy?
Doggy. Hmm. I hesitated because I was going to say it depends on who you with. But I'm going to go doggy overall.
Noggin, you give it or she gives it?
She gives it.
Okay.
I'm not saying I won't, but she gives it.
Okay. Massage or like a pamper, like a pampering?
Massage.
Every time?
Every time.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. Boom. That's a this or that moment. I probably should have had some prepared, but...
And that was great.
People just like when you wing it. They like when you just wing it.
Freestyle.
So do this for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to make a bio...
Yeah.
And it's... let's just say, just so that you warm up, the first couple of bullet points on the bio are things you've already accomplished.
Mm.
I would like to know the next 3 to 5 things that don't exist yet.
Mm.
What would you say? That's good.
One is what we were kind of talking about earlier. I plan on having a video game developed. It's an area I've always wanted to be in. Especially since I am a gamer myself.
Mm.
That's one thing. Another one would be to expand myself in the writing game more. And when I say that, that means, you know, working with different artists, whether it be a lady artist, country,
diversified
song. You know, yeah, I wanna have fun with it. And that definitely is a goal, is not to stay in one place. Mm-hmm. As a sound. Everything I do, I want it to be totally different from the last thing. So that's definitely a goal for me. What else? I plan on I want a puppy.
Okay. What
kind of puppy? Before a child.
Okay. What kind of puppy are you trying to get?
I don't want to be judged.
You want a French?
A Frenchie? With the French? A French bulldog? I was thinking about that. But I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I really want like a golden doodle or like a labradoodle.
Because then they don't shed.
They don't shed.
Yep.
They're really smart. Yeah. Somebody said they're like the smartest, one of the smartest dogs.
Yeah, well, Jack Russell Terriers, I think, the smartest dog on earth.
Oh, okay.
That and a well-trained German Shepherd.
Oh, okay.
But for the dog lovers out there, like, no, it's not. It's the... Don't start that shit. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what... I want one of them.
Much as you travel?
That's why it's been hard. That's why I'm like... But right now, I'm like, man, I wish I would have known COVID was coming because I'd have got me a COVID puppy.
Yeah, but dogs don't last for COVID. Nigga. They last for their whole life.
I know, but I would have had the... I would have had the puppy straight by then.
Where would the puppy be while you and the homies are at Long Stressa?
The puppy would be with my lady friend.
All right. So you're going to be like, who's that, 2 Chainz that has that dog with him all the time? Yeah. Or Future? Somebody has a little dog with him all the time.
I think it is Future, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want something that's
a puppy before kids.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Because
if the puppy died, then it's like, oh, this nigga shouldn't get no kids.
For sure.
For sure. You know what I'm saying? You can't take care of the puppy.
Right. But, I mean, everything wants to survive. I mean, at a certain point, a kid's going to be like, nigga, I'll cook a sandwich. God damn.
I don't want it to get there, though.
Right.
I don't ever. My kids shall never want.
I mean, but how do you, I mean, shit, you were 6 playing drums at church. Like,
yeah.
Kids, we start to survival instinct kicks in. The dog ain't got no thumbs. He's just screwed regardless. What would you name your dog?
I don't know. I would have to see the dog.
You want to like interact with it?
Yeah,
I feel like everything for you is the vibes.
It's like a tribe in Africa. When you have a kid, you got to be like, okay, this is what you are going to do. Your name means this.
Yes.
And that means they have to. That's what they do. This is, or it's an ancestor, right? So I would have to get to
like
know
the Native Americans, how they right. like. But I mean, and it sounds like crazy noble because like you may meet a girl named Hummingbird and that's like, that's crazy.
Yeah, right.
But then you could also meet somebody named Lightbulb. You're like, damn, they weren't outside, huh?
Right.
Ain't that
exactly.
a bitch? Introducing Lightbulb. This bitch has an idea.
She is an idea.
All right, well, that's what's up. So as far as those goals, being like when you, I'm very strategic about how I go about my goals, right? Mm-hmm. Like I legit write them down, then I write down the beats that it takes to get to the finish line. I'll break the beats down into action steps. I'll break the action steps down into to-do lists. I'll break the to-do list down into how long they should take and literally incrementally re-engineer what it takes to get to the final goal so that when I do one little thing, it's purpose driven.
Right.
And so then one little step, you keep taking your little steps and you turn and look back and you're like, damn, I'm hella far from where I started.
Right.
And then you achieve the thing. So
I need to do that.
So I was going to ask you, what do you do? Because you're knocking out major things. Is this just by chance? And talent, and you're just like, look, man, I wing it, and when it happens, it happens.
I wish. But it's definitely, like, when I put my mind to something, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make it happen. And then if I fail, I move on to the next thing. But, yeah, like, my thing is I don't like to focus on a lot of things at once. So it's like.
What's the max? What are you like, okay, my plate's full?
4 things.
So on a day when you're like, listen to beats,
yeah,
wash clothes, run to post office.
No, those are never happening. This laundry and making a song in the same day, never happening. That's just impossible.
So what things do you not let into your creative space?
Anything stressful. Anything where I'm like, anything that takes me out of that vibe that I want to be in. So if I'm like, all right, if I know I have to work on a song, mm-hmm. I know what kind of vibe I'm going to want to set. Mm-hmm. Anything that is the opposite of that vibe, I don't want to be around. If it's somebody talking some negative shit, that I won't even look at Facebook for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Just to clear your palate.
Right. and just let it all be me and not influenced by somebody else's energy.
What about your phone?
Well, that's hard because
you write into your phone.
I write into my phone, which I've been trying to get out of.
Why? Papers everywhere.
But I got this little nice little book. And so I've been like, I want to write in that book. But it's also like the phone is just so convenient. What am I going to do? I can't get away from it. And then there's a notification on top of my bars. And I'm like, I got to check that. So.
Which is what I was leading to. Is like I find when I'm creating, like I have to just put the phone either in another room, face down.
So you don't write on your phone?
Yeah, I got plenty of material in my phone. Mm. But how can I, if it's a fledgling idea, how can I get it to where it can stand upright on its own if my phone rings, texts are coming, notifications are popping in from here and there? I mean, I'm talking about I got news apps, text messages, the Instagram.
Yeah.
And I post viral content, so the notifications be off a goddamn chain. Yep. So I have to just leave that shit alone. Furthermore, as of recent, I've been taking my phone and putting it on the other side of the whole room and shit. Because I'm finding that off the first notification I get in the morning, I hear that.
Yeah.
And I check that, and there's no going back to sleep.
Exactly.
So whenever that first one hits, if it's 6:15, guess who's up for the goddamn day? Me and my tired ass.
And that's why I've been kind of.
And you know what's crazy? We'd be exhausted after waking up like that and have to finish our day out. And the goddamn phone dies. The phone don't ride out with you. It should have to struggle on 1% like it us. Should. That motherfucker be like, nigga, that's it. Charge me back up. What about me, bitch ass nigga? I need to charge back up. Apple, you need to work on that. You need to have our phones. They already counting our heartbeats and steps and shit. It should let us know when our energy is so low that everybody got to take a goddamn break.
Right. I want to see it fade out and dim.
I want to see it struggle. I want to see it like you're trying to text and it's struggling like you.
Right.
And then it just it don't even die. It just say go to bed. It's nap time.
This is the world. This is the world we live in now, man.
Where we're dropping. Speaking of the world that we live in right now, how are you handling? A whole new world, this COVID fuckery.
I think I'm doing pretty well.
Damn it.
I'm an introvert.
Oh, okay. So you like this. I've been in the
crib. I've been in the corner, in the dark, in the fetal position.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. That's where I get my best material.
So creatively, you're flourishing.
Yeah. I think it's weird to say, but I think this is definitely the best project that I've done. I think it's some of the best music I've done.
So this is not just the peacocking song as a single. Tomorrow is the drop of an entire album.
The beginning of it. The album is going to drop in October.
Tell me about the album.
The album is a cornucopia of soul and love.
Titled?
You're going to be the first person I tell the title to. This is crazy.
Well, shit, let's do it right then.
What you gonna do?
The name of the album is Fantastic. It has been thought of. It has been mulled over in a corner while they were sitting in the fetal position in the dark during COVID. While you could not go out to movie theaters, while you could not go to comedy clubs, XP was creating and making and molding incredible content for you, track after track of banger. And what he decided to name the entire thing is
Regal Blue 84.
It's called Regal Blue 84. Exactly. Tell me this.
It has a lot to do.
Walk me through your medulla oblongata.
For sure.
And how you get to that.
For sure. It has a lot to do with the artwork, which you can't really see. Mm-hmm. The artwork is, I had one of my favorite artists. He's a painter. Mm. I had him. His name is Clayton Singleton.
Shout out to Clayton Singleton. I don't know Clayton.
Oh, it would make sense because he's fire. You would love his work.
Then I'm going to have to get familiar.
You got to check him out.
He's here?
No. I don't know where he's stationed at. But okay. He does.
Probably long stress.
He does black art and just puts, like he'll do a painting of anybody and just put you in a light that makes them
fantastic.
Godly almost.
Wow. King.
So he did this painting and it's super royalty. I got a crown on and it's like, I got chains on. And the background is blue.
Okay.
And so I wanted to touch on, you know, I was like, okay, it's Regal.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And where I grew up.
So this has nothing to do with a car.
It does.
Okay.
Because where I grew up, East Chicago, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Detroit.
That's where the Jackson family's from, Gary, Indiana.
That's right.
And you'll get your ass killed fuck around there, too.
You will.
Just be safe.
Be careful. Be careful.
So, Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. So, you know, OGs, that's, you know, that was one of the cars they used to push, was a Regal. And they put that motherfucker up, they sit it up on 22s. Yeah. And then, you know, and they pushed good weed out of them. And some of them pushed other things.
The dog.
But, and so that, it's kind of touching on that, on kind of where I came from a little bit, okay. And to where I'm at right now, being Regal, trying to be, you know, yeah. Black excellence, royalty.
Are you a Leo?
Pisces.
Ah, I'm a Leo. That royalty shit speaks right to my soul.
So I'm a fish. I swim by you as you are being royal, and I say, continue your royalty.
Yeah.
And then I swim on. But yeah, so and then that, and then 84, the year I was born, and it also just happens to be one of my favorite years of the Regal that I used to see the OGs pushing. So
that's what's up. So you're actually not timeless, despite the first section of the podcast where we weren't we weren't saying how old you are, and now you came in here and dropped that 84 was the year of your birth.
No, I said 84 was the year of my favorite Regal. I didn't say that was the year that I was birthed.
Okay, well, hey, the people heard what they heard, and they can review it. Either way.
We don't edit around here either.
Your music, what you create, and you essentially, your essence, is all timeless. Now, I don't know if in this podcast we were able to capture, I know we weren't able to capture all things that are XP, so I want to extend the invitation for you to come back.
Man, if you have me, I'll
Because I want to dig deeper. And I'll tell a little story. Then we're not going to go into this.
Okay.
But we are going to tell them where to find you on the internet and all that stuff.
Okay.
Immediately after I do this. This is a cliffhanger.
Okay.
When I was young and at going to church.
Oh, my God.
It's happening. As a child, we had Bible study on Tuesdays, and then it was followed up with choir practice. It was actually pretty fun because it was like all the young people from all of the different schools in the area, which was the only time you would see the girls from the other high school, because they would just be over there, either that or at like a citywide dance. So we would love going to church, and everybody would be intermingling and commingling. And you know, when you're young and budding and you're dealing with your you know, your innards and all the feelings and your hormones are raging, and that stuff starts to outweigh where you're at and the environment you're in, and you just bubble over and you suck titties somewhere you ain't supposed to suck titties at. I was in Bible study, minding my business, probably passing notes back and forth to other women. It was Bible study for sure. Tuesday night, church wasn't done being built. XP was a member of my church, and so was the young lady who he got caught with in the back of the church, back there tittying around. They were kids, so it didn't get too crazy, but they got caught by a minister. And so what we saw from the Bible study room was, first of all, everybody knew they were back there. We all knew they had snuck off to do their thing. I was trying to figure out who I could go back to. Oh, absolutely. Y'all weren't slick. Oh, I'm like, God. Because her little sister was still in there. So we're like, hey, yo, where's Jane Doe? And they're like, where's John Doe? Oh, they back there doing around. We knew it. And when Minister Johnson went past, we were like, I hope she don't know they back there. So I don't know what y'all was back there doing, but she caught you. And so y'all got yanked out of the back of the unfinished being built church and drugged through the whole front of the foyer of the church the Bible study room.
Can I say, because that part of the church wasn't fully built yet, technically it wasn't as bad as if it would have been in the actual part of the church. There wasn't as much of God's eye on that part of the church. Okay, go on.
Whatever you've told yourself. To justify sucking titties in the back of a church is fine with me. But I do think you should have a coming to him and just be real about it.
Repent.
Yeah, like, my bad. Okay. It wasn't done back there. I was very horny. The young lady was with the shits. And just have your moment. But it's hysterical to me. And here's the thing. That same minister caught between 4 and 7 other children messing around in the church at different times. This is actually more common than people think. You can't just send a bunch of little horny kids to any building and expect them not to horn together. You just can't. I know somebody who got caught in the broom closet of the old church down on Puget.
Downtown Olympia.
Downtown Olympia. The original?
Down there messing around, trying to figure out, well, does that fit in this? Does that go on that? Or what is this? Which way does that shape it? Oh, yours is changing. Oh, mine is changing. Just little kids.
Under the watchful eye.
Well, they didn't know all
this. Of the Lord.
They thought they were under the watchful eye of a push broom. So, you know what I'm saying? They're in a broom closet. You thought you were under the watchful eye of a dusty, under construction, concrete bucket filled room.
It was some concrete buckets.
And a minister ran in on you and brought the entire wrath of the Lord with her. And so when you come back, I need you to be able to explain how that even pops off. Like, how do you get dropped off at New Life Baptist Church? Like, you know you're going there. You pass the sign on the way into the parking lot. You park. You go in. You sit in Bible study. You pass a note or a whisper or a suggestion. And then the two of you strafe, because you didn't leave at the same time. You didn't walk out with your fingers interlocked. No. She left first, and that's how I know she led you down the wrong
Thank
road.
You.
And then you followed a couple minutes later, Thank winking you. And dapping niggas on your way out, like, y'all know what's about to happen. I might even wipe my dick off on Bible paper. We're like, oh wow. My God, XP is a heathen.
Blasphemous.
Hey, I stayed in Bible study. I'm just saying what happened. So I want you, when you come back, to tell me about that. And then seriously, I want to delve a little bit deeper into what we as African-American men think is going on with the cultural shift that's happened in the country about Black Lives Mattering, about George, about Brianna, about Biden. And I want to actually dig just a little, and I mean a little, just scratch the surface on what's going on with Democratic National Convention and us getting Trump up out of there.
Yes, sir.
Or keeping him, depending on how you feel. But I want to go into that kind of stuff.
Yes,
in the meantime, since this has been juicy, tell them where to find you online.
Oh, you can find me at ExperienceXP. Now, that experience does not have an E at the beginning of it because I had to be special. So I took the E off, and that's hip-hop. So it's at ExperienceXP on all my social media. And yeah. And oh, yeah, my website is xpmusic.rocks.
And where can they go at midnight tonight to hear the new single Peacockin'?
Ooh, wee. So whatever platform of music you got is going to be on there.
That part.
Tidal.
Ooh. And that's where you should listen to it at, Black people.
There we go.
If you're going to stream with Tidal.
I'm on there. And shout out to DistroKid, who is doing my distribution. They Beautiful. Actually include Tidal into their program when you work with them.
They sure do. Because that's how they helped me put out Cookie Monster.
Boom. They're the homies.
But you should also check out Cookie Monster Remix featuring Too Short and Zero. But do it after you give Peacockin' at fire. Least 10 spins.
Listen, we got fire out here.
We're in these streets. When are we going to make a song?
We need to.
We're playing.
We need to, man.
Got
to
get the vibe right, you know what I'm saying? Take our socks and shoes off, rent a little room, and then just, like, make it, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Check me out on Instagram, at Mr. Nate Jackson, superfunnycomedyclub.com. We will be back after this brief hiatus where the governor is messing with live entertainment, but we'll be back, we'll be better, we'll be bigger, we'll be stronger, and we will be a glorious space for the Northwest to enjoy live comedy. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Nate Jackson Podcasting Network.